Burton.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Justin Burton. I'm here on behalf of Andres Guruza and his petition for review of the Board of Immigration Appeals' decision. At issue in this case is whether the immigration judge properly adjudicated the request for a continuance during the merits hearing, where the government failed to produce a videotape which could either prove to substantiate Mr. Guruza's claim or provide an opportunity to cross-examine the government's witness. The Real ID Act provides jurisdiction in this case where there are legal and constitutional questions. There are two hurdles that we must first overcome in this case, and that being exhaustion of administrative remedies and to be able to prove that this is based on a non-discretionary decision. In this case, the Board of Immigration Appeals indicated that the judge did not err in refusing to continue the proceedings to issue a subpoena for such production. The government argues in their own brief that the issue on the continuance had failed to have been argued before the Board of Immigration Appeals. What the statute requires is that issue is brought up before the Board of Immigration Appeals. It's clear in this case that it was. The decision actually held that the judge did not fail to provide that continuance in the proceedings. The second question goes to non-discretionary decisions. This court held in Hamden that an adjustment of status that eventually went to the final stages and adjudication was a discretionary decision, and this court didn't have jurisdiction over that. However, in this case, we're arguing that a continuance during proceedings is a non-discretionary decision, and this court has jurisdiction over decisions such as those. A continuance is a non-discretionary decision. It's interesting, in a footnote in Hamdan, footnote number 6, they cited Elkins versus Moreno, which is a United States Supreme Court decision which indicated adjustment of status is a form of discretionary relief, is evaluated by immigration judges after a hearing and receiving evidence and testimony concerning the adverse factors. In this case, we were not provided an opportunity to properly cross-examine the government's witness. They provided an excuse that they were not able to secure the videotape that purportedly witnessed.
Well, I don't understand why the videotape is even relevant, given your client's concession that he paid $12,000 to some private person to get him a fraudulent credential. Well, what in the videotape would add or subtract to that?
The judge felt that Mr. Guruza knew or should have known.
Well, the immigration judge felt. I'm asking for an argument about why that would be relevant.
Two reasons.
You apparently, as I understand your brief, you hope that the videotape would not show the passage of money to the undercover agent. But I don't see why it matters how and when or even if he was paid.
Well, not show that just the passage of money didn't exist between my client and the officer, but it shows that the officer indicated to my client that this is a legal and legitimate issuance of a green card, and he was falsely led to believe that this was a legal process. He went to an INS processing center for his fingerprints. He paid a person $12,000 to be able to get a green card. There are unlicensed practitioners that file labor certifications, that file visa petitions with the Immigration Service, that file for green card applications without telling and explaining to their own clients that this is how the legal proceedings work. In this case, he paid somebody $12,000. This person was not a lawyer. However, he already paid $7,000 on a previous occasion.
Right. This is his third episode of bribery. He apparently thinks that's how things are done, but it isn't.
Well, at that point, it's not bribery. It's paying somebody to being able to process the applications, and it happens, unfortunately, all the time. We don't know what was spoken to between the broker and him, although his comments say he was told by the broker that this is absolutely legitimate. It's just a way to expedite the entire process. And conversations with the officer, he claims that he doesn't know what the broker said. However, he feels that he thinks he may have said, in one of the 300 cases that he had an opportunity to possibly remember, that he thinks possibly he said this was not a legitimate operation and they knew that they were gaining it through illegal means, but he never stated that. What he stated was, on the stamp that I'm issuing you in your passport, it's going to give you the right to travel in and out of the United States, and it's going to give you right to work in the United States. We know that. It's in the testimony. So what the videotape would show is that this officer never explained to him that this is an illegal operation. There are a lot of situations in immigration where you don't even see an officer, and when you do see an officer, they're plain clothes. They're not wearing a badge. They're not wearing they don't state themselves as officers. You walk into the room and discuss the case. Back when amnesty came around in the late 80s, oftentimes there were remote sites which people would go to. So a remote site to get fingerprinted, a remote site to have your interview at. In this case, he walked into a travel agency. He was ushered into a back room. Before you know it, he's sitting before a person who was told that this guy is an officer. He was interviewed and out within a very short period of time.
Was a request for a continuance ever made before the immigration judge?
Upon agreement. Counsel, which was myself, for the petitioner, had objected to any testimony and any documentation submitted by the government with regards to this investigation. What the judge then indicated was he would listen to the testimony, but he would later on determine whether it warranted a continuance. So it was upon understanding that this case would have been continued. And that's when I relented in allowing the witness to proceed upon my objections, upon agreement that this would be continued.
Well, as I understand the record, and you've just confirmed my understanding, a motion to strike the witness's testimony was made. The judge denied that motion, allowed the witness to testify, and then there was no further discussion after the witness concluded of the need for a continuance.
But the response, the problem was the response by the judge wouldn't then require me to, well, the response by the judge was, I'll grant a continuance, determining what's at the end of proceedings. Let's hear what the witness has to say. It would be strange, I guess, for me to say, well, Judge, then I'm motioning the court for a continuance after the immigration judge.
Well, it would not be strange at all for you to ask for a continuance after the witness concluded his testimony, reiterating the argument about the videotape if it was that important.
Well, my arguments are made of the record at the beginning of proceedings, and I made it clear that we're very unnerved as to the due process rights of Mr. Scarussa, where the government is harboring or not providing or not disclosing a videotape, which is crucial to the case. We clearly asked him months before. We made it clear on the record that we're greatly concerned on our objection and then on the response back from the immigration judge. So the request for a continuance was made of record. It further was made by...
Is there actually a request for continuance made on the record, or is your argument that it was just assumed that that's what you wanted?
Well, it wasn't assumed. It was based on the comments of the immigration judge. The immigration judge specifically said, well, I'll entertain... Oh, he didn't say I'll entertain a request. He said, well, I'll come back to it for purposes of continuance later on in
and
the record.
And you're acknowledging that you never asked the judge to come back to it after the witness finished testifying.
That's right. That's right. We never came back to it for... I guess a number of reasons. I don't remember specifically what occurred at the end of the proceedings, other than the judge, after Officer Robinson testified, looking at counsel and asking myself to make final arguments.
Well, so how should we consider the issue to have been preserved if no request for continuance was ever made either before or after the witness testified?
Well, it's still of record, and even though a specific request never came from myself, it still was agreed upon by the judge upon his own representations to present counsel. The judge specifically stated, I will continue this case, but I want to hear what the government witness has to say, and then proceeded on to the conclusion of the case. It was made of record. It's established in the record. I understand your concerns, but to, again, ask for a continuance after the immigration judge already said he would he would revisit the continuance request later on. It wouldn't make no sense to me then thereafter or immediately thereafter then ask for a continuance. So you're right. The request for continuance never came from myself, but it was done on agreement to the court at that time. Nevertheless, the the petitioner is entitled to a full hearing. We rest on our brief at this point. I'd just like an opportunity for rebuttal time, except for one other point.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burton.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Futuros.
May it please the Court, my name is Thomas Futuros, and I represent the Attorney General. Mr. Scaruso was provided a hearing on the merits of his application before an impartial judge in which he provided testimony, submitted evidence, and cross-examined witnesses. This procedure complied with all the requirements of the INA and was fundamentally fair. Accordingly, Mr. Scaruso is unable to demonstrate any legal or constitutional error. The immigration judge in this case made a discretionary determination that Mr. Scaruso did not warrant an adjustment of status. He based this discretionary determination upon Mr. Scaruso's attempt to purchase his lawful permanent residency and upon the manner in which he entered the United States by paying a broker to hide on a ship. Because the substance of this discretionary determination is unreviewable, Mr. Scaruso has attempted to articulate a statutory or constitutional claim.
I don't understand the unreviewability of continuance argument that you made in your brief. The order of removal is reviewable, and every alien is entitled by statute to a fair process before his removal, and that's not discretionary. The immigration judge must provide an adequate process before removal. So what's discretionary? There may be discretionary choices in how that process is provided or managed, but whether the process is adequate to allow a fair testing of the arguments pro and con is not discretionary. The immigration judge must provide that.
The government's brief was not intended to argue that this court lacks the jurisdiction to review statutory or legal claims, specifically whether Mr. Scaruso received an adequate hearing in accordance with due process or received a proceeding in accordance with...
Due process is irrelevant, right? One reaches constitutional issues only if necessary. There's a statute entitling aliens to adequate hearings. No one says that statute is unconstitutional.
And this court retains jurisdiction to review whether Mr. Scaruso received such a hearing. And he doesn't argue in his brief that this court should review whether he was properly denied his adjustment of status on discretionary grounds. The substance, the procedure, clearly this court maintains jurisdiction to review. What this court cannot review is whether he's entitled to a grant of adjustment of status. And that is why he's attempted to articulate a statutory or constitutional claim. Specifically, a statutory claim cites two provisions of 8 U.S.C. 1229A. B4 states that Mr. Scaruso shall have the reasonable opportunity to present his evidence, examine evidence against him, and cross-examine witnesses. B1 states that the immigration judge may issue subpoenas. Mr. Scaruso's hearing met all of these statutory requirements contained in the INA. He testified extensively concerning his application. He described his manner of entry into the United States and his involvement in the sting operation. He received all the documents in DHS's possession concerning this sting operation, and he was provided a subpoena compelling Officer Robinson of DHS to come to his hearing and subjected him to cross-examination. In addition to all of this process, the immigration judge provided Mr. Scaruso's counsel the opportunity to object to this process throughout the hearing, including the opportunity to describe why he was disadvantaged in his cross-examination of Officer Robinson. Mr. Scaruso's counsel declined to do so. And that goes directly to your point. When the judge said that a continuance may be necessary, the judge was coming up with a practical solution. Mr. Scaruso's counsel said that he objected to Officer Robinson testifying at all. And the judge said, well, let's hear what he has to say, and if you can't cross-examine him, or if you can articulate why you can't do so, tell me, and then we'll decide whether a continuance should be granted. At no time did Mr. Scaruso request a continuance. Officer Robinson testified. Mr. Scaruso's counsel had several pages of cross-examination of Officer Robinson, and yet at no time did he articulate any reason why this hearing should be stopped and a subpoena should be issued to the FBI to obtain this videotape. As the board determined, Mr. Scaruso's subpoena request was directed to DHS Officer Robinson, and it was complied with. Officer Robinson appeared for testimony and for cross-examination. This resulted in the two principles to this illicit transaction Mr. Scarusa and Officer Robinson testifying fully and being subjected to cross-examination about what occurred in the back room of that travel agency. And even prior to the issuance of the subpoena, DHS provided all of the documents in its possession to Mr. Scarusa. Importantly, the immigration judge's decision in this case relied solely upon evidence provided at the hearing, evidence that Mr. Scarusa either presented himself or was able to fully question. The statutory claim rests on his inability to review this FBI videotape. He speculates that this videotape may in some way assist his discretionary application for adjustment of status. Although he was a participant in this transaction, he is unable to identify how this videotape will materially assist his claim in any way. As Mr. Scarusa admits, any assistance this tape may provide is purely speculative, which is curious because Mr. Scarusa was in the room when this transaction occurred. Mr. Scarusa was afforded the opportunity to fully present his evidence, cross-examine witnesses, and he received the benefit of a permissive issuance of a subpoena. This was a fair hearing that complied with the INA. The board properly determined that the immigration judge properly applied all relevant regulations and that Mr. Scarusa had not identified any statutory error. Turning to his constitutional arguments, Mr. Scarusa is entitled to a fundamentally fair hearing, and a requirement that is fulfilled by the immigration court following its statutes and following its regulations. Mr. Scarusa received notice of his hearing, was given the opportunity to be heard, and his claim was reviewed by a neutral fact finder. He does not possess a liberty or property interest in receiving an adjustment of status. And finally, turning to the prejudice in this matter, there's no evidence that this video would show anything other than was presented at the hearing, in which both Mr. Scarusa and Officer Robinson testified fully about the transaction. The details of what occurred in that transaction were not the basis of the immigration judge's decision. Rather, the immigration judge's decision was based on the fact that the transaction occurred at all, and the immigration judge determined that Mr. Scarusa should have known that it was wrong, even if he did not, that he should have known, even if he was not told, he should have known that what he was doing was wrong. The immigration judge also based his discretionary determination on a wholly separate ground, the manner in which Mr. Scarusa entered the United States by paying a broker $7,000 to hide on a ship in order to enter the United States with the intent to remain permanently. This adverse factor is wholly unrelated to what occurred in the back room of that travel agency. This case is not about the denial of a continuance. This case is about...
Where, by the way, is Ziggy these days? I would hope Ziggy is himself a guest of the federal government.
The operation went on for many years, and the target was the brokers. And importantly, Mr. Scarusa's only claim that he thought this was a legal process, when they asked him, Mr. Scarusa, why did you think this was a legal process? Ziggy told me. It wasn't that the officer duped him or that he was tricked.
You haven't answered my question. I take it you don't know Ziggy's status.
Oh, I do not know Ziggy's status. No, I'm sorry, Your Honor. This case, again, is not about a denial of continuance. It's about a legal or constitutional claim. If Mr. Scarusa has not identified a legal or constitutional problem, then a continuance doesn't matter in this case. And that's what how the board analyzed this. They said, no, you haven't shown any violations of statute and that you had a fair hearing. Accordingly, for these reasons and the reasons set forth in our brief, the petition for review should be denied.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Burton. The case is taken under advisement.